Okay, well, we are, this section will be on Git, kind of in the middle of it, and it's typically for people with children, maybe ages maybe all the way up to 5 years old or maybe sometimes older, but it really, this class is for everybody. I mean, my desire is not that only people with these age groups would be in here. My desire is that we'd all be in here because our desire is to be a biblical counseling church. And so Jesus didn't have children, and I'm sure he can speak into my life. And so it has nothing to do with whether we have children or don't have children. We desire to learn what God says in his word. And so we should all be at this class because we're desiring to be able to teach parents how to honor God by following his commands in the word. And so that's why we do this class. It's really an opportunity to learn about the character of God and what his desire is for us. But specifically, I want to talk about tonight, people with children with ages in that toddler kind of age. But as a review, real quick, if you don't mind, I'd like to just review real quick. So if you weren't here, and if you were here, I just need you to really understand again, as we talked about last week, just getting started. You know, the desire, obviously, would be as a mom and a dad would be to have children. Typically is a desire. It's a desire that God put inside you, and in the sense the scripture says to be fruitful and multiply. And so we don't necessarily, that's not something that every godly parents get as far as children, but it is a blessing. It is a gift, the Bible says. It's a reward. But what we need to understand is that's not where our identity is found. And that's what we talked about last week. That is truly the foundation of everything that I'm going to be teaching, whether you have toddlers, teenagers, or babies. Is your identity is not found in whether you're a mom or your dad. Your identity is found in Jesus Christ and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we just got started, what I wanted people to know is your spiritual blessings that God has given you in Jesus Christ are foundational for everything that you have. So whether you have children or don't have children, you have Christ, and that's enough. That's always going to be enough, okay? And so that was where we started in just getting started. So let's move on, okay? I want to start out with a question. That's what I did last time in a sense, but I want you to think about something for a second. When your son or daughter leaves your home someday, which one of the following would you most want for them? A, to be successful academically. B, to be successful athletically. C, to be successful socially. Or D, to be a person of faith and character. Now, you're probably saying, Greg, is there a E? All the above? So now I want you to have another question. Which of the following parenting issues gets the best of your time, your effort, your money, your anxiety, and your planning? A, academics. B, athletics. C, social life. Or D, faith and character development. Think about it for a second. If you had to personally rank these in the amount of time you spend with your children? You know, you may have answered the first question with, absolutely, faith and character. I want my kids to know Jesus and to serve him faithfully, right? So as we look at this question, let me ask you how much time you're spending on that. I think that's a convicting question that even me and Laura have struggled with over the time. I mean, I'm a sports person, and there's nothing better than to have my son grow up to be Peyton Manning. All God's people said. Rogers. Whatever. Cutler, oh, geez. Now, what did I start? Come on. But then you look at society and how society elevates people, whether it's athletically or academically, how popular they are. You look at entertainment world. And how much they downgrade people with faith and character. You could be a Tim Tebow, but I can promise you that comes with a lot of persecution. So personally rank these in order on the amount of time you spend with your children right now. So as we get to the middle of it, I want to talk about a few things. So where do you start? Okay, I have children. We have a baby and they're starting to grow up. Now, where do I start, Lord? My desire is to honor you in my parenting, and I've been blessed with this baby that is so stinking cute, and this baby does nothing wrong, and now they're starting to grow and they're starting to mature, and all of a sudden I'm starting to see things, and I'm asking you, God, where do I start? Well, if you're asking that question, first of all, it's a good question. But the answer is found in what Scripture absolutely tells us, which is found in God's Word. If our desire is to honor God, we have to go where God talks about parenting. And God talks about parenting a lot in Scripture. So I'd like you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick, as God addresses children in Ephesus. Now, I want you to understand that, listen, I am not going to be able to cover everything in 3 classes about parenting. I'm going to touch base on just a few things, but holistically, I cannot touch every single topic in regards to parenting. You know, what you should do about devotions and what you should do about this or that or the other. I'm really going to just touch a couple areas, but Chris has done a great job with resources and things that you can get in the back, and obviously you have your Bible, and most importantly, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. So you have a constant guide in teaching what Jesus wants you to learn in honoring him. So that being said, I'm not touching everything. Okay, so if you're sitting there saying, well, why didn't you talk about this? Well, because I can't. Okay, well, I can, but this class would be 16 months long. Maybe that's a good thing. We'll talk about that later, Chris. We may need a 16-month course on parenting. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So we look at this verse and we see that God addresses children. But the question would be is, well, then how are children supposed to learn this? Well, that's where parenting comes in. See, God's desires is that they would obey. Submission, authority. Children need to learn where authority comes from. And specifically that by honoring God, to honor God, they need to honor their father and their mother. So we get this harmony. Ephesians is really all about the gospel, but specifically, how can you have harmony in your home? How can you have toddlers running around, being disobedient, and all the things that toddlers are, and still have harmony in your home? Well, God's desire is that you would give them a demonstration of how God deals with his children. That would be us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So how does this happen? So I'm going to talk about discipline. That's the main emphasis of my teaching this afternoon in regards to being in the middle of it. What does discipline look like in your homes as God would want to teach you? So how do we learn about discipline? Well, we learn about discipline in God's Word and how he disciplines followers of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. In Hebrews chapter 12, we learn how God disciplines, and he uses the parent, the father and the son relationship. And he says this, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. I'm looking at verse 5, chapter 12. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, for he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For at the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but latter it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline. What is discipline? It's defined literally as obedience. It's obeying God. Well, I should say this. You won't face discipline if you obey God. The reason we are disciplined is we don't obey God. So, if you see discipline within your home as just corporal punishment, your misunderstanding of discipline and what God says is his desire for discipline. We have to view discipline as something that is future, not present. Meaning the purpose by which we discipline is for a future behavior, not a present activity. You have to view discipline not as just punishment, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but discipline for a future behavior, a correcting of behavior. You know, my son, Bo, I love using Bo as an example. He humbles me. But my desire is to teach my son what's going to help him 20 years from now. Oftentimes my son will say, "Dad, why do you have to go to work? Why do you have to go to work today?" Right, hon? And all the time. "Dad, why do you have to go to work? Why don't you just stay home?" That's very tempting. But my desire to teach my son is this: this is what you're supposed to do. Even though you desire to stay home, you go to work. I'm teaching him by something that's painful sometimes, like work, that I'm teaching him for 20 years from now that this is something you're going to have to do. And it's a good thing. Discipline is not meant to just correct behavior. You're missing the point if discipline is just correct the behavior and move on. Discipline is meant to be a future action, an action to help them for a future behavior. It should always be a humbling experience, not a demeaning experience. So, how does discipline look? Well, I have an illustration here for you. This book right here, me and my wife would say is probably, wouldn't you argue, probably our favorite book of all books that we've ever read other than the Bible on raising children, toddlers, young kids. This has absolutely been so helpful in explaining Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. See, God's desire through teaching children what it means to obey and your parents really starts with understanding that they are the desire is to teach your children to obey God. By obeying the parents, you're obeying God. If a child doesn't understand the purpose by which they're obeying, which is obeying God, then you've not taught them the right reason for them to obey. Does that make sense? If all you're doing is correcting them to say, "Obey me because me," then you're never teaching, you're missing a huge opportunity that what you're teaching them is obeying God. God put you, parent, as a picture of how God deals with us. And so when he disciplines his children, he does it out of love to correct a future behavior, not to just correct us from our present activity. So we have this illustration in regards to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-4, because the emphasis I want to talk to you guys is about discipline, why we discipline our kids. If we don't discipline our kids, the first thing is you need to understand is discipline is rescuing them from danger. Okay? See, what Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 is saying is listen, I'll read it again for you. It says, that it may go well with them and that you may live a long life. If you honor your father and mother, these are going to be the benefits of your life. Okay? So this is where it's safe. You're teaching them from discipline what's safe and what's not going to be safe for a child. Okay? How many of you, if a child was running to the street, would you rescue them? Okay? The same application applies to a child that's undisciplined. If you don't discipline your children, you do not care about their safety. That's what Scripture is telling me. That you desire children not to live a long life. And by the way, you're ruining everyone else's life around you. Amen, everyone says. To people who don't have kids yet. Right? Here's the point. God's desire is that you safely bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. You want to rescue them. And you rescue them by disciplining their bad behavior. Here's what God gives us when he says, if you teach your children to obey God by honoring your mom and dad, it's going to go well with them. And doesn't it? I mean, they learn to live productive lives by listening and obeying to their mom and dad. The Bible tells them it will go well with them. How many of you want your kids to have a good life? So if you think that if you want them to have a good life and you don't discipline them, you are absolutely going contrary to what the Bible says. It's an impossible task to have a child have a good life without discipline. That's kind of hard, isn't it? It seems like we should just let them live great lives and they'll have a great life. No, God says you must rescue them from their own hearts. They will absolutely want to disobey because the sin nature is grown inside them from the very foundation in which they entered this world. They were born in iniquity. Their sin nature will come out and we must correct it. We must discipline disobedience because of love. The very love God showed us while we were disobedient. He doesn't just leave us where we're at. So this is what it looks like. So when they disobey, when your child is in obedience, his life will go well and he'll live a long life when he obeys. Once disobedience comes and dishonor comes, here's what happens. How many of you want your children to look like this all the time? First of all, feed them if they look like this. But the point is oftentimes we get this all backwards. We think, okay, let's just let them do what they want and they'll be so happy. If we just let them, if they don't want to go to bed, who cares? They look so happy when they don't sleep. What God is saying is unless you provide the structure of what it means to submit to an authority, which that's what you are, God has given you the gift of authority to teach that you have an authority, which is God. That is, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you submitted to his authority in your life. And so what he's saying is, now I've given you this little gift, and maybe six of them, and he's saying, you teach them what it means to submit to me by submitting to you. How many of us like having authority? Liar. None of us like authority. That's because of our sin nature. Our sin nature is so disobedient. And so what God wants to teach us is submission is a good thing. A very good thing. It will go well with us. If we obey God, it goes well with us. If we obey God, we have a long life. Really, we have eternal life. But if we begin to disobey and dishonor God, you will have hardship. You will have difficulty. And I can tell you, there are times in me and Laura's life with when we had children, when we would not, we were not consistent in our discipline of our children, that there was hardship, there was difficulty, there was bickering between both of us as to, come on, what is going on? I was trying to pull my hair out. The blame was not the children. The blame was we weren't doing this. By us not honoring God, by obeying Him and how we're supposed to raise our children, we started to disobey Him. And thus, difficulty and hardship took place. So what do we do? How do we correct this behavior? Okay, so if we're going this way, if your child is going this way, how do we get them to go this way? Well, that comes discipline and correction. That's the focus we're going to spend most of our time on. Learning these perspectives.
I mean, who wants to spank a one-year-old?
Yeah.
I knew I didn't. Everybody's seen those kids, you know, as you just look and you're like, they just need a good old-fashioned whooping is what they need. And I didn't want that for my kids. I knew that the Lord had so much more for them. And I knew that I didn't have a background that was familiar with that. It wasn't a biblical disciplined home. So I didn't have a frame of reference. And here she was. And we had a fireplace. And it would get hot, and she could walk at 9 months, and I knew something had to happen. Something needed to happen that would help me keep her safe, like it said.
Yeah, I remember that time. We had an electric fireplace. The sucker would get so hot. I mean, like, melt metal hot. And she would walk right toward that it was like a magnet of sin. She's like, I want that. Why? We got toys over here. No, I want the fireplace.
And the stairs.
And the stairs.
She didn't have enough motor abilities to be able to do stairs. So for her own safety, we had to spank for stairs.
What are some of the things we noticed when we looked at some of our old videos?
She would slap us. Something you don't even notice.
Yeah.
Don't sing.
Boom.
Don't sing. Like that. And so sometimes you don't notice. That's why it's so important to have friends that will help you, that you can give them the lowdown. This is what happened in our home. And they can say, that's wrong. You shouldn't let your child do that.
Yeah.
You need to help them. They have folly built up in their heart, and you need to help them.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not coming from a perspective that we got it all figured out. I remember, just watching those videos, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed.
And I remember my mom saying, you're going to let her slap you?
I know.
I was like, she's little.
Yeah, she's so cute. We love her. What have you learned, Laura, about your role and responsibility as a mom?
I wanted, because they were with me most of the time, I wanted the discipline to be my thing. And I didn't want to have to say, wait until your dad gets home. I never wanted that to happen. I never wanted that for Greg. I wanted when daddy's home, and I really wanted it to be daddy's home, you know, not they're your problem now because I cannot deal with this. There's been times when I didn't know what to do and I've been confused or it's been really bad. There's been only a handful of those times, but they're rare where I have to wait for Greg and we need to work through it with the kids. But
what we do is we would go upstairs and we just have a conversation before it wasn't, you know, spank them. They drive me crazy. We would go upstairs and she would explain the situation. We've had that even just recently where Laura was telling me, okay, we need to walk through something. Can you help me kind of, what should we do here? And we just communicate because we don't want to discipline out of just anger. And I'm not telling you that doesn't always happen. I'm just saying that's not our intended purpose. So anyway, what else in regards to your roles and responsibilities? I've always appreciated that about Laura. She desires for when I come home. Because when I used to get home, I mean, I grew up that we were in fear of my dad coming home at 5:30. I mean, because my mom would always, and I love my parents, but I mean, my mom would always say, you wait till your dad gets home. when your dad gets home, you are going to get the belt. And I'm just like, crap, man, shoot. And so I was always in fear of my dad coming home. And he didn't do a lot to squell that because he was always pretty angry. And so it just made it made it a lot easier on my mom just to put the fear and shift the blame over to my dad in the discipline factor. It wasn't even discipline. It was just punishment. It was always constant punishment. Talk about emotions versus scriptures. Talk about the opportunity this morning before church. We have a brand new example right before church this morning.
I'll just say the example then. Okay. Yeah. So Lainey was doing puzzles on the floor, and she needed to get ready for church. She's 1.5. And I said, Lainey, come here. We need to get ready for church. And she just looked at me, and she just kept doing her puzzles. And I said, stop doing your puzzles and come to Mama. And she looked at me and just kept doing her puzzles. So I took her, and I spanked her, and I didn't have my toga with me, so it was my hand. And she's getting – when they're littler, you can kind of flick them with your – and so she's getting to this age where I need to be more diligent with her. I need to make sure that's always with me, or I take a moment to go get it. When they're really little, you can kind of flick them with your finger if they've touched something they're not supposed to, whatever. But anyway, so she's at that age, and I didn't have it with me, so I should have done that. So I took her, and I spanked her. And then I put her back at the puzzles and gave her the opportunity to get the blessing of obeying. So I said, Lainey, you need to come to Mama. We need to get ready for church. And she didn't do it. So I went to her again, and I spanked her, set her back down there, went over here, gave her the opportunity to be blessed by obeying, and she didn't do it again. And on the third time, she said, no, 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 and she sat down.
That's killer.
It's so cute. It's funny. It's so good to make sure you're disciplining whenever everything is still okay with you, yeah, and you're not angry. Like, you're just doing what you know you need to do and not being mean. And so it was good. So then I spanked her again, and on the fourth time, Lainey, come to Mama. You need to get ready for church. And then she walked right over to me. And that's such a precious time, because then you really get to hug them and say, you are so smart. Let's get ready for church. You're a good girl, like that, instead of, if you would have done this the first time, you know, don't ever do that. It's just not, of the Lord. Like, you know, he said it was finished. So it's done, you know, and it's over. And you don't have to hold those grudges. You don't have to, you know, be weird like that.
Explain then what Quinlan responded. Because here's what's going to happen, is your emotions will dictate, potentially, Ken wants to dictate how you respond to God's word. So tell us what God used in Quinlan.
So then the baby monitor was on, and she heard the whole thing, and she hates it. She doesn't like it. It's hard for her. Even though she looks back on her own life and knows that spankings were good, but she just doesn't like to see it in Lainey because she's little and her baby sister, blah, blah, blah. And so I just had to explain to Quinlan, like, she's like, what's the big deal? You could have just gone over and got her. You know, it was literally like this far. And she's like, why don't you just go pick her up and do it? And I was like, Quinlan, I have to take these neutral times to discipline her. Because if I wait until she's in the street and a car's coming and I yell, Lainey, come here, and she doesn't do it, it's too late then. So you have to take advantage of these times to actually do training. Like, it's training. You do the training for combat or war or whatever whenever you're not in war. And so it's like, because then it actually works, you know. So it was, I just had to explain to her that you take the neutral times to actually do the spankings, to actually do the, because you don't want to wait until it's too late.
Yeah.
And when you're in an instance where they're actually in danger.
That's right. And I think that was, to me, that was a real good lesson for Quinlan, who, by God's grace, she'll be raised up to be a godly woman someday. She needed to learn that these are the safe moments to teach this discipline. I thought that was a great teachable moment, and I was so encouraged that God gave us a great illustration even for us today. Thanks, Moments with Laura. Give her a round of applause. We have resources in the back, and like I said, by far our favorite book as parents has been this book right here, Shepherding a Child's Heart. A lot of the illustrations that I have that I gave, I've stolen from this book. It's absolutely a critical book that's been used by us in learning more about what the Word of God says in regards to disciplining. Guys, I'm praying for you. I know it's not easy, and by God's grace, you are learning from your failures, you're learning from your mistakes, because you won't be a perfect parent. I mean, God is the perfect parent, and Adam and Eve disobeyed. Okay? So we have children that by their sin nature are going to disobey you. But that's why you need personal time with Jesus Christ. You know, when Mary and Martha were invited Jesus to their house and he came, Martha was busy with so many different things. Serving and, you know, picking up the kids' toys and all the different things that Martha was doing. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha was obviously very discouraged by that. She needed Mary to serve. And Jesus said, Mary's exactly where she needs to be and I will not take that from her. Listen, I understand this is hard, and it's still hard. We're still in the middle of it. If we don't have that personal time with God, asking Him to teach us, to encourage us, to rebuke us, whatever it is in my personal time with God in the Word of God, then this battle becomes that much harder. Because what I'm looking at is the world to teach me how to raise my child. And I can tell you, it doesn't do a good job. The church, followers of Jesus Christ, are to be the example. And so back to that first question as we close. Do you remember the question? This one. Which of the following parenting issues gets the best of your time? Are you concerned about your kids' academics, athletics, and social life? Are you concerned about their faith and character? I would say all of us are concerned about the faith and character of our children. The question is what are we devoting our time to? God says put that at the top of the list. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much. You are a good, good Father. God, you discipline us. You love us. And we are so grateful for your patience with us. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you knew that while we were disobedient, you died for us. So God, help us to see from your word how safe we can be when we obey you. How safe our kids can be when they obey you. God, give us wisdom. Our desire is not to raise up a bunch of legalists that just obey because they're afraid, but ones that would be raised up to understand that by obeying you, God, that they might have a life that honors you. God, thank you so much that you are so patient. Give wisdom to the parents of High Point Church for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.